Thank you very much. We're looking for the Conglitz introduction. And I want to thank Phil Rosen. I know he's not here, unfortunately, due to Avelis, for contacting me and asking me to participate in this inaugural program in conjunction with ACT, or this year's project. I was asked to speak about the subject of forgiveness. I understand that there's a book for sale outside by Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Tversky. Rabbi Tversky is a fascinating person, a fascinating writer. He happens to daven in my shul. He lives in Teaneck, where I live, and he lives around the corner from my shul. And when he's not in Eretz Yisrael, a good part of the time he's in Eretz Yisrael, when he's not in Eretz Yisrael and he's home in Teaneck, he daven in our shul, and a fascinating person. Whatever he says and whatever he writes about is always very, very interesting. And I'm not getting any commission from Rabbi Tversky, but I do urge you, if you're interested in pursuing this subject, to take a look at his works. I don't want him to be frightened by the packets that were just handed out. We're not going to be spending the rest of the day here, and we're not going to be covering necessarily everything that's in here. But as I understand, this is part of an ongoing project. Some of you may want to keep these papers and refer to them and look over them at some other time and look into greater detail. I was asked to speak specifically, as I said, about the subject of forgiveness. Now, there are really two angles or two aspects, as forgiveness is really a bilateral kind of arrangement, and one can certainly give a shiur or several shiurim, several lectures on the subject of the need for an offending party to ask forgiveness, to seek forgiveness, to beg forgiveness. There's a wealth of material on that subject, and that's an important subject. It's not the subject I'm going to investigate this afternoon with you, but that's not because it's not important. It's extremely important. And the notion of bakosha saslicha, the notion that one is should, when having wronged somebody, should go out and look and try and seek forgiveness from the party that he or she has offended, is a very, very important subject. But the focal point for this afternoon's presentation will be from the other side, the obligation for a person who has been offended, who has been wronged, to grant forgiveness, to grant slicha, to grant mechila. Why exactly should it be that we should grant forgiveness to somebody who has wronged us? We've all had the experience, I have no doubt, that everybody here, regardless of your age or background, has had the experience of having been wronged by somebody. Sometimes it was a misunderstanding, but sometimes, let's be honest, it wasn't always a misunderstanding. Sometimes a person intended to wrong you, or intended to badmouth you, or intended to to offend you, or to insult you, and so on and so forth, and then later on may have felt bad about it. This person could be a spouse, this could be a person, could be a parent, a child, a business associate, a neighbor, anybody on the street. Today they speak about road rage. It could be somebody never met before, and somebody's driving, and you could have a negative interaction, and so on. And sometimes the person has absolutely wronged you, and on occasion later on the person feels bad and would like to ask you for forgiveness, and the question is, ought you provide forgiveness? What is the basis for the notion that you have to provide forgiveness? That's what I want to look into today. And we begin in the first source with a passage that appears in the Slichas. The Slichas, of course, are familiar to us from the Yom Noraim, the days, a little more than a week usually before Rosh Hashanah, and the week, of course, between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. But today being a fast day, today being Shavuos HaBetamos, of course, we said Slichas this morning as well as part of davening. And there in one of the introductory paragraphs, we introduced HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Kel Erech HaPayim in the first source. Kel Erech HaPayim HaTov Al Erech Nikreis. Again, if someone doesn't follow in the source, it's okay, you'll understand anyway, but some of you might find it helpful. That's why we gave it out. And one of the things we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu there is Tavor Al Pesha. Tavor Al Pesha. Look aside or look away from any sins. That's what we ask when we beg to our Kaddish Baruch Hu, whether it's on Shavuos HaBetamos today in the Slichas, or whether it's during the course of the High Holiday season, Rosh Hashanah Kippur, we ask our Kaddish Baruch Hu, Tavor Al Pesha. It's a funny language, Over La'avor Al Pesha. So the crossover is what it literally means. We need to understand what that means. It appears in the second source in the Machzor Yom Kippur. Again, we say Shimcha Me'olam Over Al Pesha, and again Tavor Al Pesha La'am Shavei Pesha. These phrases perhaps are familiar to some of you. Again, we're approaching. We're not in the Yom Noraim season yet. We're just entering the 3 weeks. But these are things that come up in the davening, and it would seem to be based on a pasuk in Micha, which actually is laid on Shabbos Shuvah as part of the Haftorah on the Shabbos between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. And it's also according to most Minhagim. I'm not sure the customs here in this particular shul, but I imagine the custom is to add this on at the end of Mafta Yonah on Yom Kippur afternoon. By Mincha, we add on these psukim, and these psukim play a dramatic role when we say Tashlich in the source number 3. It says, Mikel Kamocha, no se avon ve over al pesha. There's that expression again. We describe our Kadosh Baruch Hu as overlooking sin. That's what we want him to do. We want him to look the other way. We all realize that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to keep an accurate reckoning and he's going to hold us responsible for all of our deeds, so then we're going to be in trouble. So we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be over our pesha. Tavor al pesha, am shavei pesha. The Mitzudas David, one of the classic commentaries on the page in the most editions of the Mikros Gedolos in Navi. Micha is a sefer in Navi, in the Trei Osar, in the Vayim Achronim. So the Mitzudas David says, what does it mean, over al pesha? Ratzel lomar eino omed al pesha lashkiach bo. You don't stand by the sin. Somebody, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I've wronged HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I didn't put on tefillin. I ate chametz on Pesach, whatever it is. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to stand by that. Right? L'shalem olav gemul. And he's going to pay me back what I deserve. No, that's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. Ela over al pesha. He pretends he doesn't see. He overlooks it. Who, this guy? I'm looking the other way. He didn't notice that I forgot to put on tefillin. I ate chametz on Pesach, or I spoke Lashon Hara, or I violated Shabbos, or whatever it is. That's the idea of over al pesha. That's how the Mefarshim explained. The Malbim on that pasuk, it's not on the sheets, but the Malbim explains the difference between no se'avon and over al pesha. Again, two different Hebrew verbs. Over, he says, overlooks permanently. Not just, you push it aside, but you come back to it tomorrow. You overlook it personally. And so issue number one, or thought number one to ponder, is why should we be over al pesha? Why should we forgive the sins that others do to us? So on a very utilitarian level, it would seem that we have to do this because we want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do it for us. I have to forgive somebody else because isn't that what I want from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Isn't that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being prayed to for the whole Yom Noraim? And every time we say Slichas, we're asking him to look the other way. So how can I not look the other way when somebody has done something to me? If I expect to be treated that way myself, then shouldn't I treat other people that way? The Medrash says in the fifth source, Shmos Rabbah Parsha Chavav, Moshe Rabbeinu was complaining to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This was right after Yetzias Mitzrayim. Everyone remember the story? They came out of Yam Suf, and right away they complained, that people complained, there's no water, there's nothing to drink, and they screamed, and Moshe couldn't take it. So it says, Vayitzak Moshe Lashem Lemor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cried out to Moshe, rather, cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, these people, they're going to kill me. I don't know what to do. They're complaining all the time. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers, the Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu was asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are they going to kill me? I'm hard to see. What are they going to do to me? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered, listen, you're the leader of this people. What you need to do is, in the third line of number five, have it domeli. Be like me. Ma'ani mishalem tova tachas ra'ah. Just as I bestow good things even on those who don't treat me so well, af ata have mishalem tova tachas ra'ah. Give them their water. Do what they need. Even though they don't deserve it, even though they're complaining to you, even though they're threatening to kill you, look the other way, said HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what I do. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was told right at the dawning, at the beginning of Jewish history, the history of the Jewish nation. Give them what they need. Now, we'll leave out source 6, or we may come back to it. When we appeal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for forgiveness, whether today in Slichas and Shivosa B'Tamas, or every day in the Shemoneh Esrei, any time, and certainly during the Yom Noraim season, wouldn't it be nice if we had a way that could guarantee that we would get forgiven? I mean, who would refuse to take such a tip? Somebody comes up to you and says, I have a tip. You want to get forgiven on Yom Noran? You want your tshuva to be accepted? You want a Kadosh Baruch Hu to forgive you all your sins on Yom Kippur? Here's what you have to do. I think any of us would take that tip. Some of us might even pay for it. But you know what? We don't have to, because the Gemara itself tells it to us. In source number 7, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Zayin, says, Amar Rava, Kol Hamavir Al Midosa, Mavir and Lo, I'll call Pshav. What do you know? The Gemara says, anybody who is Mavir al-Midosav, who stands aside, you don't stand on ceremony, you overlook those things that are done to you. We'll define the phrase in a moment. Anybody who's Mavir al-Midosav, you take it easy, you don't get excited when somebody wrongs you, so then Mavir and Lo, I'll call Pshav. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to overlook all his sins. Here you have an open Gemara, Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Zayin and Beis, that tells you, now you get forgiven on Yom Kippur, or does not speak on Yom Kippur, but in general, now you get forgiven, the Gemara gives a tip, forgive other people. Don't you stand and insist on the letter of the law when dealing with other people, then a Kadosh Baruch Hu won't insist on dealing with the letter of the law when dealing with you. That's the ticket. So the way to be assured of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Slicha and Mechila, whenever you want it, I keep saying Rosh Hashem Kippur, we need it all the time. Right? Whenever I want to petition HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Slicha and Mechila to accept our tshuva, the Gemara tells us, Rava tells the great Amora Rava, you can hardly turn three pages anywhere in the Gemara. I don't know how many people here are finishing the Daf Yomi, but I never took account. But I think you can't turn more than three or four pages in the whole Gemara anyway without coming across Rava. So the great Amora Rava tells us, here's the answer. I quotes the pasuk. To whom does a Kadosh Baruch Hu grant forgiveness of sins? Lemisha over al pesha, for somebody who himself grants forgiveness to others because of the sins against him. So here we have, and we'll bring some other proofs for it. But reason number one, it's a utilitarian reason. But reason number one to be somebody who's willing to grant forgiveness, mechila, to other people is because if that's what you want yourself, then that's how you should treat other people. You judge someone else the way you want to be judged yourself. That's how the Marshal works out in Source 8. The details is exactly how we learn it out from the Word. It's not so pivotal. But you know, I printed it, you can take a look at it. But let's now do look at Rashi in Source number 9. He explains, what does it mean, Hamavir Amidoso? What does that expression mean, Mavir Amidoso? And Rashi says, She'eno midakdeik limdot mida limitzarim oso. You're not so precise to pay back measure for measure what somebody did to you. You're not like that. Eno midakdeik limdot mida limitzarim oso. To the people who afflict you, who annoy you, who chepe you, who pester you. Umeiniach midos avahoch. You push it aside, you look the other way, and you walk away from it. Like we have an expression, ein mavir na mitzvah. You can't pass by a mitzvah. There's a din. When there's a mitzvah in front of you, you're not allowed to look the other way and say, I'm not doing the mitzvah. Ein mavir na mitzvah. It's important din. And other examples of the same word means that. And so Rashi says, what's the reward? Mavir na kol pshav. Ein midas hadin medakdek es achareyim. The midas hadin, the mid of divine judgment, or Kadosh Baruch Hu won't be so medakdek with you either. If you're not medakdek with someone else, they won't be medakdek with you when your time comes. It's very interesting, you know, the Torah of Soloveitchik pointed this out, it's on the sheets, but the Torah tells us in Parshas Yisro that Yisro gave Moshe Rabbeinu advice as to how to set up a court system. And it says there, Vayhimi Mocharas Vayeshev Moshe Lishpotas Am. The next day, Moshe sat down to judge the people, and there were so many people coming with Dinei Torah and issues, that Yisro gave him advice, everyone remembers the story, right? Yisro gave him advice to set up a system of like circuit courts, smaller courts, and higher courts, and so on and so forth. So the Medrash comments, Vayhimi Mocharas the day after what? So the Major says it was the day after Yom Kippur, the day after the first Yom Kippur. This is out of order, it's not in the chronological order in the Torah according to this approach. Vayhimi Mocharas, the day after the first Yom Kippur that the Jewish people experienced in the nation, the day of the forgiveness, the final forgiveness for the Chet HaEgel, that's when the judges sat down the very next day. Is there a connection? What's it got to do with Yom Kippur? So Rav Soloveitchik said, yes, it's a message to judges. Yesterday you were not the judge, yesterday you were being judged. And remember how yesterday you said, listen, you know, give me a break, maybe there are extenuating circumstances. We daven on Yom Kippur, we said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, listen, I didn't mean it, and I'm really sorry, and I'm not going to do it again, and everything we say. And you want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to judge you favorably, right? Well, now when you're the judge, the next day, remember that. Remember how you wanted to be treated. So it's the very same idea. The Vilna Gaon, it comments, and it's an interesting comment, is Megillas Esther of all places, he has a sort of an esoteric or deep understanding of Megillas Esther. He says, every Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, a person, Adam on the third line there, Shevachol Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Adam Chozer B'tshuva V'tzoy Chatosi Slachli. Every Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, everybody comes and says, Chatosi and Slachli, right? And we say, Al Chait and Al Sham, we say all these tefillas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Barov Chasad V'Rachamav Mabri Al Chatav V'Avanosav. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it. Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu do it? So on the next page I print in the Sefer Alei Shor, Avolbi explains, because again you see the same thing at the end of 11. Kidei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yavir P'sha'enu Gam Aleinu Lios Mavir Amel Midosenu. We have to behave the very, very same way. And you know what? If we do it again and again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do it again and again. Isn't it strange? We come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu every Yom Kippur and we say the exact same thing. Right? I mean, don't you think after a while, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, you promised the same story last year. I remember, it was only a year ago. You were sitting in the same seat, in the same shul, you know, wearing the same talis or the same outfit and so on and so forth. You had the same machzer, and you said the same thing and made the same promise, and here we are a year later. Nothing changed. And it was not only last year, but it was the year before that, and the year before that. So why should Kadosh Baruch Hu give us the break? And yet that's exactly what we say in the Nusach HaBrach on Yom Kippur, printed in Source 12, the Brach on the Shemona Esrei. Look at 12, it's a fascinating Brach. I mean, it requires a shir by itself, just that Brach. But look what it says, Baruch Atah Hashem Melech Malchel V'Salech L'Avonoseinu, right, the King who forgives and absolves us of our sins, V'Lavonos Amo B'Yishol, U'Mavir Ashmoseinu B'Chol Shana V'Shana. It's incorporated into the Brach. Every year he gives us the same break. How do you like that? Well, how do you deserve that? So again, if a person is mavral midos, if a person, you do that in your dealings with other people, you've got a lot of ammunition. And you say, because it wasn't just one person that badgers me, it was last year and the year before, and sometimes the same people constantly checkering you and giving you a hard time and nudging you, and so on and so forth. If you do that, Kadosh Baruch Hu will do it for you. And so the first basis of this, of course, is the concept of midah keneged midah. It's a very important concept in the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world midah keneged midah, the famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avos in Source 13, where it speaks about one of the Talmud Hillel saw a dead body or a skull, and he said, you drowned somebody, somebody drowned you. Right, that's what happened to you, right? You started up with someone, someone gave it back to you. More specifically, the Gemara in Sota says in Source 14, in Mishnah rather, the midah shah, the modeh lo. What you do, that's what's done to you. It's simply, that's the one of the ways in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. And that Gemara says it explicitly in Sanhedrin in 15, on the third line, Rabbi Yochanan brings proofs for it, minayin shakol midos hashah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, midah keneged midah. When we're children, okay, we're first learning in school, you find Rashi comments in Chumash, why did the Egyptians get this punishment, why did this one get that punishment, and they always tell you, midah keneged midah, right? Midah keneged, that's not a babyish concept, not at all. This is in fact the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, midah keneged midah. And therefore, not surprisingly, the Gemara in 16, Shabbos, Daf Kuf Nun Aleph Amud Beis, the Gemara says, Tanya B'Galil B'Rabbi Omer B'Nos L'Lach Arachim R'Chamech V'Rebech Kol HaMerachim Al HaBrios Merachem Olav Min HaShemayim. You have mercy on other people, Min HaShemayim will have mercy on you too. That's the way it works. That's Midah Keneged Midah, as Rashi explains, V'Nos L'Chachmash Terachem Al HaBrios. And the Mechilta in Source 18, again, you're welcome to keep them going through quickly because we want to cover a lot, but you're welcome to keep these papers and look over them because there are really some fascinating fundamental concepts found here. The Mechilta in B'Shalach and Parsha Vav in Source number 18 brings examples from Psukim throughout Navi, whether you can look through that, from Yeshaya and from Yirmiyahu and from all the Nevi'im who mentioned the same thing, that a person gets what he deserved, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu works out everything in that particular fashion. And so the medieval philosopher that printed in Source 19, the Rambam and the Mar Nevuchim, Techele Gimel Perik Yud Ches, just look at the last line, In Kain HaShkoch Elokis B'nei Adam Kulam B'Shava, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't deal everybody exact same way, it depends what the person deserves. It depends what the person's overall personality is. And the Sefer Ikrim of Yosef Albo, Mamar Dal Parakas, says, Midah keneged Midah. Says, Amazik es chaver b'mamon, who nizer from mamona? You damage someone else's property, someone's going to damage your property. Hamaziko begufo, you damage someone else physically, tikatzis yada, your hand will be hurt, and you'll get damaged physically. Ha'orig es chaver nerek, v'chein b'chol ha'on shin shi'agia, Midah keneged Midah. One after another, Midah keneged Midah. For that reason, we find a very fascinating thing. Look in 21, a beautiful comment from Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah, among his other works, wrote a work called the Sharei Tshuva, where he speaks, among other things, of what it means to do tshuva, and describes as well the characteristics of the Baal Tshuva, of a person who does tshuva. He says in Source 21, in Shar Aleph, Sim Chav Ches, or Chav Ches, the Ode Chayev Baal HaTshuva Lehikana. A person who wants to do tshuva has to be humble. That's part of the tshuva process. Humility is part of the tshuva process. And you know what that leads to on the second line? The yasig mizeh, shelo yichos, you won't get angry, velo yakpid al chaverov, you'll be so makpid on somebody else, didn't do something exactly right. That's exactly what you won't do. That's a person who's calmer. And that's why, amavim midosa, amavim al kol pshav, midah keneged midah. So Rabbi Yonah says the same thing. And it's interesting, the Maharal Prague, in a mystical way, commenting on that Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, he says that somebody who is humble, So there is no room within his psyche for not only is there no room for haughtiness, but there's no room for sin. And just like things don't stick to him, the averes won't stick to him either. And with somebody who's ma'aral midosav, you let things slide, you let things go in dealing with other people, then your sins won't stick to you either. So writes the Ma'aral Mipag. And it's interesting that the Ramchal in source 22 writes that this is not rachamim, this is not chesed, this is mishpat. A very important point. Very often we feel that we're going to fall short in the realm of mishpat. Mishpat means strict justice. Right, so I'm going to fall short in terms of justice, so I have to appeal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rachamim and chesed, and we do. But the Moshe Chaim Lutzatzur, Amchal and Derech Hashem, Perek Dal Simen Ches, right? Chelik Dal Simen Ches, right? This is not something that's the midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mercy. It's mishpat. You deal that way with somebody else, and that's the way they're going to deal with you. So this together, so to speak, is kind of like motivation number one. To be forgiving of other people is because that's what we need ourselves. But there is a second, again, I have to leave over the Mesillas Yesharim, because there's so many ideas. But there's another thing as well, a second. We'll have four altogether. A second approach. A second way of understanding why it's important for a person to be someone who grants mechilo, forgives others, even by the way, when you're in the right and they're in the wrong. Even when you're in the right and they're in the wrong. Not only because it'll stand you in good stead when you're judged, but for another reason as well. There's a pasuk in Mishlei, source number 25. The pasuk by itself does not seem to be terribly relevant, but the way the Gemara darshans the pasuk in source 26, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Zayin Amud Aleph, darshaning a pasuk in Mishlei, Perek Yudzayin, pasuk Yud Dalet, that a person who sees something, again, to play on words in Aramaic and in Hebrew and so on. If poter mayim reishis modon, reish mea dinim. We need the Rashi to help us out here. Rashi says, let's look at 27, we'll read that inside. Tuvi d'shom v'idish, ashrav sheshomea cherposo v'shosek. Fortunate is the person who hears an attack against him, something embarrassing being said about him, but for show's sake. And he's quiet. Umargo b'kachni, behaves that way. The adish kemo d'dash, he steps on, he pushes it aside. Chafu abishte mea. Holchu lahem bishti koso mea roos shahayubos olav ayadea tagar. By being quiet now, he saves himself from 100 other problems that would have resulted had he spoken up. It's such a deep Gemara. How many times do we have that? Some have that, you know, with our spouses, we have that with our children, we have that in the workplace, right? Somebody says something, and I gotta show that I'm right. So I answer. By answering, the other guy gives an answer. And it becomes 10 times as bad, or 100 times, Mar says 100 times. 100 times as bad. If you just would have been quiet, for another, walked away for 30 seconds, the whole thing would have ended. Instead, it escalates into home machloku. We have it in shuls, we have it in organizations, all because, I gotta show that I'm right. I'm right, look, I'm gonna bring a riot. Right? So very often I have a conversation, so I know myself, I speak for myself. So I'm trained in the yeshiva, as I mentioned before. So you know, I'm having a conversation with somebody, so I'm gonna bring a riot, it's like a toaster. I'm gonna bring 3 iron-clad proofs that I'm right. The other person doesn't want to hear all the riots, not interested in the riots, not going to change his mind. I can't tell how many times my wife tells me, do you think if you're going to have a whole argument with the guy, you think he's going to walk away and say, you know, Taki, he was right. He was right. It's never going to happen. It never happened. Forget about it. But I said, I have so many great proofs. Good. She said, when you write a Sefer HaTosha, you can bring all the proofs that you want to show this position is right. When dealing with other people, most of the time, the other person's not going to say, you know, he persuaded me. Years ago, I mean, I still do it sometimes, they get offended. We all had these experiences also, right? There was an article in the paper. She felt, you know, something was wrong. She wrote a letter to the editor, right? But you're going to show with beautiful writing how wonderful your point was. Now, the person who wrote the editorial was wrong about it. Or it's Yisrael, or about whatever it is, the politics, whatever the issue is. You write this letter. Is that you walk out, you feel great. Again, I've been there, done that, so I'm speaking from personal experience. I walk away, I really showed that guy. Okay, the next week's paper, he has an 8-point response to every single point that I was. And now I'm like, oh, what a minute. You think he knows how to answer my point? He misunderstood all 8 points. I'm going to write a letter the following week to the paper, and it goes on for months. I've been there, done that, right? Whether you've written to the paper or not, you've had this experience. So the Gemara says, by one time being quiet, you'll remove 100. That's the Lashon Rashi says. 100 times as bad disappears just by being quiet the one time. On the flip side, poter mayim hamaschil uposeach biktata. You instigate the quarrel, hu tchilas mea dinim. Now it's just a small quarrel. Now it's just a little remark. It'll end up being 100 dinei Torah. It'll go to court. It'll go here. Right? That's human nature. So level number two, not necessarily level, but aspect number two of being willing to forgive is because you save yourself. You won't perpetuate machlokas. The way you, by arguing and by not being mavil on the dole, so by not forgiving the person, you increase machlokas, you increase dispute, and the situation blows up completely out of control. Again, you know, those who hear are parents, especially if you have young, you know, you have or had younger children, you know, sometimes, you know, the kid did a little thing, made a big deal about it, by the time it was finished, it was a whole fight, and the parents weren't talking for 3 days to the child because of one little thing that happened. Sometimes, I'm not saying don't discipline children, I'm not saying that at all. But you have to look into each case and figure out what's worth it. That's what the Gemara is telling us over here in Sanhedrin on the Zayin Amud Aleph. And the same time, we know that the Rebbe does a mitzvah. The Gemara in Rav Basra says, and it's really in Pirkei Avos, that a person does mitzvahs, so then they do chesed, so then you have what's called a melech yoshes, an angel that comes in your, you know, in your behalf. But if you don't, so then you create the exact opposite. That's what this Gemara is. I'm just contrasting the two Gemaras. A person does mitzvahs, so you have, so to speak, friends, as it were, in Shemaim who stand up for you. When you make machlokas and you create 100 or whatever it is, enemies are going to cause more and more trouble for you. We'll move to source number 33. Tana Rabbanan, a famous Gemara in Gittin, Lamed Vav Med Beis. Hane'elovin ve'einan olvin. People who are, again, either attacked or saddened or chepid or badgered or betrayed and so on. But ve'einan olvin, right? But they don't do that back to the other person. Shomin cherpasan ve'ein moshivin. They hear things said by others, but you don't answer. Osin me'ava v'simcha b'yisurin aleyan akasur omer v'o'av av ketzeis ha'shemesh b'gurosu. Such people are called those who love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it says. Hanelovim ve'enon ovim. Rashi explains. 34. Hanelovim garsinon osan shenelovim miyad acherim. I am being nudged and embarrassed and insulted and offended and attacked by others. But ve'en ovim es acherim. But I don't do that to others. So such a person is bechlal ova. That's what Amar Shor explains in source 35. Aleim akasuv ova ova ketzeis hashemesh techol sheitv elamidos kol elhu bechlal ova. Such a person is considered beloved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there is a pretty good reason to forgive other people also. Don't you want to be counted among those who are beloved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Isn't that what we all want? HaKadosh Baruch Hu should look and say, this is a person that I love. Right? That's what it says. The Gemara says, and Elam made him ovim, er b'chal ov HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a fascinating thing. The Rambam in Hilchos Deis, and it's worth reading the whole thing. We're not going to do it now. But in Source 36, the Rambam, Parag Beis, Hilchos Deis, Halacha Gimel. Everyone knows the famous golden mean, right? Everyone knows the Rambam is one who says you have to have, you know, no extremism. Don't go extreme in this direction. Don't go extreme in that direction. Right? The Rambam, everyone knows about the Rambam's golden mean. And he says that most of the time. Most of the time. Here the Rambam says, yesh, and he always tells you, go to the Midah Beinonis. Try and be in the middle, you know, not too much this way, not too much that way, right? The golden mean. There are some midos, there are some behaviors, the Rambam says, don't go in the middle. Get as far away, get to the extreme. Go to the extreme, it's the Rambam. Go to the extreme. And one of the examples he gives of who gova lev, a person who's conceited, haughty. He said, there's no middle of the road there. Go far away from that as you possibly can. Because what does it say about Moshe Rabbeinu? Vayish Moshe, Anav Me'od, it says. Anav Me'od. We read it a few weeks ago on Parshat Baal Oscha. Not Anav. Anav means humble. It doesn't say Moshe was Anav. The Torah says Anav Me'od. What do you mean Me'od? Me'od is an extreme. Yes. When it comes to that midah, says the Rambam, go to the extreme. And in the context of this discussion, he mentions our issue also of going to the extreme, of not responding, not giving, you know, when somebody angers you, when somebody harms you, he says at the very end, you'll become, and if he quotes that same pasuk, which the Gemara quoted, which I put here in source number 37, it's Shoftim Parakei, pasuk Lamed Aleph, it's the end of the Shira of Devorah, for those who are familiar, Haftarah Parashat B'Shalach, it says, Kein Yovdu Kodecha Hashem Be'ovav Ketzeis Hashemesh Vivoroso. Those who love HaKadosh Baruch Hu will shine like the sun, so to speak. And isn't that really what Avraham Avinu taught us? Who's the person who's referred to as the Ohev of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's Avraham. The Pasuk says in verse 38, Yisrael Abdi Yaakov Asher B'charticha Zera Avraham Ohavi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu finds Avraham to be beloved. You ever wonder why HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Avram, doesn't say in the Chumash. It's a very fascinating thing. It's for pondering in general. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu choose? We don't meet Avram in the Chumash. We'll leave out the Midrashim. But we don't meet Avram in the Chumash until he's 75. Lech lecha me'artzecha me'alat Chumash, it says he's 75. That's when we meet Avram. What happened was, well, I would like to know what happened those first 75 years. Like, what caused him to, now we have Midrashim, I understand. But I'm talking about from the Psukim. Well, I don't know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu found beloved about Avram, except the Torah tells it to us. Later on, in Parashas Vayir, Source 39, a wonderful pasuk, a pasuk that's parenthetical in terms of the context. Everybody remembers, after the three angels visited Avram and Sarah to say they're going to have, Sarah's going to become pregnant, eventually have a baby, right? Yitzchak's going to be born, and Sarah left. We all know the story, right? So right after that, remember what the Malachim did next? They went to Sodom to destroy the city of Sodom. Okay, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like, almost forgot. You know what, says Hashem? I better tell Avram what I'm going to do. I'm going to go destroy Sodom. I better tell him. That's what it says in the Chumash. HaMechasen, Ime Avram, Es Hashem, Nosa, am I going to hide from Avram what I'm going to do? I better tell him. Why? Then there's this pasuk. Because I love Avram. Ki yedaitiv, because I know, Leman Hashi Yitzaves, Bonav, Es Beisa, Achav, Es Shomru, Derech Hashem, Lasos, Daka, Umishmat. Lasos, Daka, Umishmat. I love Avram because I know that he's going to transmit to his household after him to do tzedakah mishpat. Now, if I were writing an English essay, that pasuk would be in, that verse would be in parentheses. It's not nothing to do with the story. He's saying, I got to tell Avram I'm going to go destroy Sodom, and then we all know what happened after that, right? Avram stood forward. What if there are 50 tzaddikim and 45 tzaddikim and so on and so forth? But this pasuk is a parenthetical remark. Hashem tells us here why he loves Avram. But it's far from a throwaway pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram not only because I love Avram, you know why? Not only because he behaves in a certain way, but because he transmits that value to his children. Rav Meir Simcha of Devinz, the famous Meshech Chochma, wrote the Osameach on the Rambam, the Meshech Chochma on Chumash, in Source 40, not as a Meshech Chochma that maybe should be better known. Maybe it is better known. But I remember when I first came across it, knocked my socks off because I never thought of the question. We all talk about chinuch, educating our children, right? The chinuch, you have to send them to yeshivas, to have chinuch, and chinuch habonim, chinuch habonos, neshul, chinuch, right? It's a very major mitzvah. Could somebody tell me where in the Chumash we find the mitzvah of chinuch? Not so simple. Now, some people might think, v'shinantam levanecha, v'limaritam osamas b'neichem, but that's Talmud Torah. That's Talmud Torah. Right, that's not necessarily chinuch in terms of mitzvah. Where exactly in the Chumash does it say specifically that there's a mitzvah of chinuch? We all know about it. We all raise our children and we have in the shul groups and leaders and teachers. Yeah.
Well, you just said that he says that.
Exactly. The Meshech Chochma says, guess what? This pasuk, this parenthetical remark, look at 40. Hine mitzvah chinuch mitzvah lebanim mitzvah asei lo nizkar. Right? And he quotes the Gemara's that talk about it, and so on. It's in the Shulchan. We all know about chinuch and various things you're not allowed to tell a child to do, and we have to keep the child away from such shiurim and shiurim he can give on that subject. But he says here, this is the source of Allah Ikam Avram. The Ikar is from Avram. Now, if this is true in the area of mitzvahs, so then how much more so is it true in the area of midos? Ladies and gentlemen, you know this as well as I do, if not better. The children see everything. And the children pick up on everything. So if parents are always makbin on everything, right? They never forgive and never look the other way, then that's how the child's going to be. And therefore the Rambam tells us in 41, Hilchos Deos, Perek Aleph, Halacha Zayin, V'keitzad yargil odom atzmo b'deis elo atshibo yaseh v'yishane v'yishalesh. These ideas have to be things that you do on a regular basis. This can't be once in a while. You know what? The rabbi told me before that if I forgive people, then Hashem will forgive me. So on Erev Rosh Hashanah, I'll forgive a bunch of people. Right? So then I get that. That's not what it means. It means to make this part of your behavior pattern. Yeshanev, Yeshalesh, B'maisim, Shosap, Ideas, and so on and so on. You got to do all these things. And he quotes the same pasuk, because that's Derech Hashem. That's the Derech Hashem. So now we have two motivations, at least two principal motivations for the idea of forgiving somebody who has wronged us. Okay, again, one, the notion that we'll be forgiven, midah keneged midah, we want to be forgiven by Hashem, so we should forgive other people. And number two, this notion of not to perpetuate machlokas, not to make things worse, to be nelov men ovim, don't develop certain character traits and your children will have them and so on, you'll make it worse by behaving in a certain way. But now we come to a third thing. And this is something we don't necessarily think about in this regard, but it's certainly true. The Pasuk says, the famous Pasuk in Dvarim Perek Chav Ches, Pasuk Tes, the first part of the Pasuk is not important. The last two words are important. The Halachta Bidrachav. The Torah tells us we have to walk in the ways of our Kaddish Baruch Hu. And in the Latin it's imitatio Dei, to imitate God. We have to be like God. And Rambam tells us in 43, Hilchos Deis Perek Alav Alacha Hei, I'm mitzuvin anu lalechas bidrachim ala benim ahim adrachim atom esham shem alach to bidrachim. This is where Kaddish Baruch Hu behaves. Now what does that mean? How do you behave like a Kaddish Baruch Hu? So the Rambam tells us, based on the Gemara, I quoted from the Rambam in 44, Mahu nikra chanun, afata chanun. Mahu nikra rachum, afato rachum. Mahu nikra kadosh, afataya kadosh. Whatever it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, that's what we have to strive to be. Right? Whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu behaves, He's merciful, and there are many other examples. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of the sick, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is menachem, the avelim, and so on. So the Gemara and Chazal say, that's where we learn it from. Aside from its independent value as a mitzvah. It's imitating our Kaddish Baruch Hu. We're supposed to be like our Kaddish Baruch Hu. Those who study Rabbi Soloveitchik, he developed this idea to say about man's creativity. Many essays about it, right? The creativity of man, our Kaddish Baruch Hu created, so we have to be creative. What we're suggesting here now is taking off on that point. That is a third motivation for forgiving. Besides the fact that I'll get forgiven, mida keneged mida, if I forgive others. Besides the fact that it's a good character trait that minimizes machlokas and so on. Aside from all of that, there's something else. We're enjoined to mimic HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the extent that we can. And therefore the Sefer Tomer Dvora, one of the Kabbalistic type of Sarm, it's not my area, but certain things we can understand relatively easy. In Source 45, in the first parak of Tomer Dvora, quotes our psukim that we started with, Mikel Kamocha, Hamida Hazos Mora Al Heos HaKadosh Baruch Hu Melech Ne'elov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a king who is tolerant. He takes things sovel elbone. He tolerates when something is done wrong to him, so to speak. And after all, says the Tomer Dvar, and think about it for a second, it's frightening actually to think about it for even 1 second. Look on the third line of 45. It has never happened in the history of the world that somebody sinned against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shelo yehu ba'osa harega mamish shofea shefa kiyumo tumor sevarav. A person, while he's sinning, in the very moment he's sinning, is benefiting from the beneficence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The fact that while you're sinning, the fact that your arms work, the fact that you can walk, the fact you can breathe, the fact that you exist. So it's the Talmud Torah says, isn't that the biggest patch and punim, right? The biggest slap in the face. You're sinning against HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the very moment when you are benefiting from His kindness. Says the Talmud Torah, there's no greater tolerant person being than that. Ela sovel HaKadosh Baruch Hu el don kazeh leos mashpia bo koch tumor seivara. This is the meat of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, we've all heard the pasuk. We say it every day in Oz Yashir. Mi chamocha bo elim Hashem. Right? Which usually translates as, who is like you among all the other so-called gods, Hashem? But the Gemara in Gittin in Source 46, Nun Vav Med Beis, the Gemara has a drasha. The Bei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, Mi chamocha ba'elim, again a play on words, Mi chamocha ba'ilmim. Ilim is somebody who is like he can't talk and he can't hear and so on. What does it mean? The Kleoker and others explain. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes himself as if he doesn't hear, as if he didn't notice, as if he didn't see it. Right? And that's the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He doesn't exact punishment. He holds back his anger, the Kleoker explained, and he says, quiet, I can't talk, I don't know, I didn't hear about it. Where, who, what, when? Right? He looks the other way as if it didn't ever happen. And we also say that to those who are familiar in the V'chol Maminim, you know, in the Yom Shem Kippur by Musaf, right after Kiddush, we say the beautiful piyut V'chol Maminim, and he shall sing it, whatever the minhagim are. V'chol Maminim. One of the phrases in V'chol Maminim in 48, V'chol Maminim shonotzer chesed, hasovel umalim ayin misorim. Kadosh Baruch Hu tolerates, and he closes his eyes to the negative things. So if that's if that is a character trait of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and we are enjoined the halachta bidrachov, mahu rachum avata rachum, mahu chan avata chan, and so on and so forth, we're supposed to follow a Kaddish Baruch Hu. There's another way to follow a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And now there is something else, which in some ways may be the toughest thing of all. But although it's the toughest thing of all, perhaps it gives us the most inspiration. We're able to do it. Sometimes, I would say almost all the time, to be sovel, to be nelavein and olvin, to be somebody who's over mavral midosav and so on, requires you to go against your grain, to go against what you deep down in the deepest recess of your heart and brain feel is right. And that's awfully tough, because most of us consider ourselves, and probably most of the time are, good people. We think things out clearly, we have well thought out positions and so on every issue. And for me to go ahead now and act in a way which is against, I can only speak, from personal experience. I had an argument with one of my children last week some point, and again, it was on political issues, they dormed the town pretty much, but with different points of view about something. And, it got that sometimes these discussions do got very heated. And my wife said, walk enough, you're not going to convince you, walk away, just stop. It's annoying me, everyone's screaming and so on and so forth, right? But you don't want to, because in Yiddish it's geitzechon, it's like it's kidding, I gotta get the final word, and I gotta have the last word. That's how we are. And it takes going against the grain to be able to say, you know what, I won't have the last word, you can have the last word, goodbye, thank you, okay, I can't go any further. But again, we learn that from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his greatest mida in a certain sense? The Gemara says in Yuma Samech Tesam Abay, source 49, Amar Chanina Shmamina, Chosomo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu MS. HaKadosh Baruch Hu stands for truth. Now truth, there's not room for too much manipulation. There's not room for much negotiation. MS is MS. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu stands for MS, then tak, if I'm deserving of punishment, I'm deserving whatever, truth is truth, that's it. What do you mean he looks the other way? That's not truth. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we just said before, HaSovel Umalim Ayin Misorim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks, when he looks the other way, I thought he stands for truth. So ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu does stand for truth. And with truth there is usually little room for maneuverability. But there's a very fascinating Medrash. Medrash says in Bereishis Rabbah, Parsha Ches, source number 50, the Medrash says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create man, so the different angels, different groups weighed in with their opinions as to whether it's a good idea or it's not a good idea. So you take a look on the quote of Pasuk, on the third line of 50. Chesed Omer Yivra Shugomel Chasodim. The mid of Chesed said, create man, because he'll do acts of kindness. He was voted in favor. I say I. My Chesed was in favor. The Emes Omer Al Yivra. Emes says, don't create man. Shakulo Shkarim, because people lie. They're full of baloney. Right? They lie. So don't create him. Tzedek Omer Yivra Shoset Stokos. Tzedek says, create man, because man does acts of righteousness. Shalom Omer Al Yivra Dechulek Tata. Shalom says, don't create. There are going to be too many fights. Right? So all these midas come forward. So now what happens? So Ma Asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Notal Emes V'Yishlichu La'aretz. He took Emes and threw him down, threw him out of heaven. So now, before it was 2-2, right? It was Emes and Shalom on one side, and Tzedek and Chesed on the other side. So it's 2-2. So how does it decide? Do I create man? Do I not create man? The vote is tied. And there's no head of the House of Representatives to break the tie. So who's going to break the tie? It's even. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes Emes, throws him out. Take Emes out of the equation. Me'as HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not on Emes, Yishlichu La'aretz, Hado Detziv, Batishach Emes Arzo. Amro Malach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so on and so forth. Emes Merit Titzmach, Emes will come back later. And finally, they took a vote, 2-1, in favor of creating man. Man was created. Okay, an unusual medrash requires some analysis. The Kotzke Rebbe, great Menachem Mendel of Kotz, the Kotzke Rebbe said, and it's printed in one of his farm, probably more than one of his farm, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu throw Emes out? After all, it was Tzedek and Chesed on one side, Emes and Shalom on the other side. So if you wanted to rig the vote, right, rig the ballot box, right? So you're going to get rid of one of the other positions. So he threw Emes out. Why didn't he throw Shalom out? So Kotzke Rebbe said, characteristic sharpness, he says, because if you threw Shalom out, it wouldn't matter if it was 2-1 against MS. You can't outvote MS. MS wins if it's 2-1 or 3-1 or 5-1 or 100-1. You can't outvote MS. So therefore, I had to take MS out of the equation. Then it was 2-1. A sharp word from the Kotzke Rebbe, you can't outvote MS. But that's a side point. I bring this medrash here today for a different reason. And that is that despite the fact that Yitaka can't outvote MS, despite the fact that Chosam HaShah Kadosh Baruch Hu MS, to create man, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? According to this medrash, he removed MS from the equation. Meaning that there are times, this is a tough thing to say, but there are times where, you know what? You put MS aside. And sometimes, but Allah Chavero, are those very occasions. You go to somebody's house for Shabbos lunch, okay, or Shabbos dinner, let's say, and they serve you soup, and the hostess asks you, did you like the soup? Now, MS maybe it is the worst soup I've ever tasted. Okay, but you wouldn't say that. You have to be polite. So you say, it was nice, it was good. It was very good. You want some more? No thanks. but you wouldn't, right? Sometimes you don't say, sometimes you don't say the MS. Right? You push aside. Now, that's also a shear in its own right. When are we permitted? And so on. A very, very complicated area. But you see from this medrash. Well, if that was, man was created, according to this medrash, because of a compromise in emes. So therefore, to keep from machlokas, to keep all the things that we mentioned before in place, then maybe sometimes you have to move aside and move away from emes. Again, not that emes is unimportant, I don't want to misquote it. But sometimes it's better to avoid machlokas, to let Shalom remain in. Let Shalom win. Right? Sometimes Shalom has to win out over MS. Again, you have to know how to use that, when to use that. You have to seek guidance from qualified people to tell you when you can apply that and so on. But we do have a concept once in a while of allowing white lies, the Gemara talks about and so on, to keep peace. Right? We mentioned before about Avraham and Sarah. Remember the Medrash there? The Gemara says, Avraham and Sarah says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not exactly tell Avraham what Sarah said. Right? Sarah said when she left, when she was going to have a baby, she said, how can I have a baby? I'm such an old lady and my husband's such an old man. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham what Sarah said, he said, how can she have a baby? She's such an old lady. Left out the other part. Right? To keep Shalom, you know, that Avraham's, oh, what are you calling me an old man? Right? Like this, he didn't tell the whole story. Right? So the Gemara says that once in a while, based on that, the Gemara brings that as a proof. Or the Gemara brings another proof. There's a story in the very end of Vayechi, where Yosef's brothers are nervous. He's going to take revenge, remember? They concoct the whole story. That before Yaakov died, he told us this, man, make up a whole story. So the whole thing is baloney. Never happened. Right? Anyway, but I bring this in here because when it comes to, but how could Hashem Baruch do it? What do you mean? I thought he stands for emes. So that's what it means, going against your grain. It sometimes means overcoming what you know deep down is right. You have an argument with somebody, you know that you're correct, and you have all the proofs, like I said before, but sometimes you push emes aside, and then you let things go. If you turn now, we'll skip a little bit, we'll go to something else, in Source 59. Medrash says in Shir HaShirim Rabbah, Ein Shikha Lifnei Amakom. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't forget anything. And yet, what does our Kadosh Baruch Hu do for us? He sometimes, quote unquote, forgets. He forgets the averas that we did. He goes against his grain. Yerushalmi says in Kiddushin, source number 60, Rabbi Chunin B'Shem Rabbah, Kadosh Baruch Hu Ein Lefanav Shikha. But yet, in front of the Jewish people, Nasa Shokhan, he becomes forgetful. Why? Our pasuk again. Mikel kamocha no se avon v'ra'al pesha no se ksiv no se can be read as no she no shisi. We're reading a few weeks in Eicha no shisi tova. I forgot. Because Baruch Hu makes himself forget. And sometimes when dealing with other people, you forget. You have to push aside. I'm far from a tzaddik, but I personally just had a situation with somebody who I'm not even sure he remembered, but. I have to have a decent memory, so especially when I was wrong. So about 15 years ago, this person, said certain nasty things about me in a dispute, whatever it was, and the details aren't important. Probably about 15 years ago, probably in the late 90s. And now the person came to me because he needed something. And, you know, again, we haven't had much to do with each other, we just didn't cross the same path. But just recently, the person came to me, and, you know, for a minute, I thought, no, this is the same guy. But then I realized, it happened, 15 years ago. Well, the guy needs something now, I can provide it for him, so I did it. That doesn't make me a tzaddik, I'm not a tzaddik. But that's, I forgot, I pretended I forgot about it. He may have been pretending he forgot about it too, I don't know. Maybe he really did forget about it. But sometimes you forget. You know, on a humorous note, I was, before I had my own, I lived in Teaneck, before I had my own shul, I was the gabbai in a different shul in town. And there were certain minhagim that I thought were correct, that the shits, you know, that the, were in the shul, the rabbi had a different view on certain issues, so we disagreed, okay, that's alright. But sometimes I would hope that he would change his mind. So like I remember with regards to Shavuos, many shuls, they say on the second day of Shavuos, a little piyut in the Haftarah called Yatziv Pisgam. They say that here. It's not it. Most shuls do. This particular shul didn't say Yatziv Pisgam. So I don't know why, I didn't understand why, the rabbi didn't really have a good reason, he just said we don't say it. So every year I was the guy, pretended I forgot what the meaning of the shul was. I walk around and say, what's I mean? Do we say it's hippie? He must have thought I was a fool. I didn't really forget, I knew very well that he didn't say it, but I was hoping that by pretending to forget, and they're saying maybe we'll discuss it, maybe we'll, it never worked. But the point is I would pretend to forget certain things. So sometimes it's also good to pretend to forget. It means going against your grain. Kadosh Baruch Hu went against his grain, ain't shikha, yet sometimes he makes himself to be a shocher. It's very interesting, you know, we'll just move to finish up because it's getting a little late, but the Source 56, famous statement, I'm sorry, Source 61, Shabbos Lamed Amud Beis, Tanar Bonon, Lo'olam Yehe Adam Anvison Kehillo Lo'ye Kapton Keshamai. Be like Hillel, not like Shammai. Shammai sometimes gets bad press. Okay, Shammai was known to be a kapton. He was very makpid on certain things. Now, it doesn't mean that Shammai was a rotten guy. In fact, in Pirkei Avos, that's why I printed this, source number 62, one of Shammai's credos was, in source 62, having the Kabbalah's call out on the Sefer Panim Yofes. Greet everybody cheerfully. We shouldn't think that Shammai was some mean-spirited, angry, grumpy fellow who always had mean things to say to people. It's not true at all. Shammai, by the way, Shammai Omer Asay Tarsakeva and Mormat Asay the head of the Kabbalah's call Adam Asay Ponim Yofos. These are the principal positions of Shammai. And the Bar Tanur explains about all those cases in Pirkei Avos. Not only did a person say these things, but that's how he behaved. So Shammai was like that. However, he was a kapton. He was a kapton. And the Gemara goes on to tell a story about Reb Elezer, who was a student of Shammai, who was also a kapton, and it didn't end up good for him. It doesn't mean that Shammai was a bad person overall, but he wasn't Mavra Midosov. The Gemara tells a story in 63 in Tainus that the great sage Reb Elezer davened for rain during the course of the drought, and it didn't come, and then Reb Akiva did, and it did rain, and what? So Reb Akiva was great, Reb Akiva wasn't necessarily. Reb Elezer was known as Reb Elezer HaGadol, one of the great Tanoim. But he was Mavral Midosov, he wasn't Mavral Midosov. Right? Sometimes not good to be a captain. So how do you do this? All these things that we said this afternoon, we'll go over them again. We gave four principal reasons why a person should be willing to forgive when wrong. Okay? Number one, whatever, say in order. Four principal reasons, right? Number one, because we want to be judged that way ourselves. It's midah keneged midah. We behave that way to our Kadosh Baruch Hu, to other people, our Kadosh Baruch Hu behave that way with us. Number two, to minimize machlokas, not to have so many disputes, not to make matters worse by perpetuating the argument. Number three, imitati odei, right? Valachta bidrachov, to follow our Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's how he behaves, that's how we have to behave. And now the last thing, number four, to go against our grain. But how do you do it, practically speaking? So obviously it requires a lot of work, but really when we think about it, it means a little bit we have to change our personalities. And I don't know everybody here, I know myself. In order to be this, to you know, we have to be willing to change our personality. Just mention, you know, to always have a connection between the Parsha and what we're learning. So yesterday we learned Parsha's Balak, right? So Balak, we know, hires Bilam to come curse the Jewish people. Bilam is traveling, and you have the unusual episode of the talking donkey, and the donkey says, and the angel then appears, and he didn't see the angel, and so on, the donkey did. We all know the story. And so the angel says, why did you hit your donkey shalosh regolim three times? That phrase appears, actually, three times in those couple of psukim. Why did you, now the word shalosh regolim simply means three times, but obviously to us the term shalosh regolim means something else. We remind ourselves of Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, and lo and behold, the Medrash makes the connection. Rashi and Chumash says, That was the message HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Bilam. You're trying to go and uproot the people that are going to come and observe the Shalosh Regalim? You'll never be successful. That's the connection. Why I use the phrase Shalosh Regalim, that you hit the donkey Shalosh Regalim. But there's more to it than that. Meshech Chachma makes a comment that it was a shtach, it was a dig at Bilam, because the Jewish people come on the Shalosh Regalim to the Beis HaMikdash to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? That Shalosh Baruch Hashanah, Yeroah, we're seen and we do see and we witness the Shechina. And you couldn't even see what the donkey saw. Fine. But it goes even deeper. Can you imagine what it was like in Yerushalayim during the Shalosh Regalim? Just one minute, think about it for a second. What must have been like with the throngs of people? How many people? They did not have in those days the same number of 5-star hotels like you have today. And even today, if you ever have been privileged to be in Yerushalayim, when there's something going on, there's some big political conference or some medical, you know, the traffic is snarled all over the place. It's worse than, you know, worse than New York City sometimes around Yerushalayim. There are these narrow roads and it's just impossible to get around. And you imagine going to the Beis HaMikdash, going to Yerushalayim. Every Jew is there, the family, and where do you stay? You have to find it packed and crowded. The natural thing would be to what? To complain. And yet the Mishnah says in the fifth parak of Pirkei Avos that one of the miracles, and it was a miracle, I can't imagine otherwise, one of the miracles that existed within the framework of the Beis HaMikdash was nobody ever said, Tzar li amokom shalom Yerushalayim. Nobody ever grumbled about having to stay in Yerushalayim. It was a miracle, I can't even imagine it. But that's what happened. But why did that happen? Leaving out that it was a miracle, why did that happen? How is it possible? No one ever complained all the years, throngs of people coming to Yerushalayim, and again, life, you know, in terms of what was available, in terms of comforts, everything else was far different than today. And can you imagine all those people? How could it be nobody complained about having to stay in Yerushalayim? I saw in a certain sefer that the answer is because the people had a different goal in mind. They were looking at something else. They were coming to Yerushalayim to bask in the presence of the Shechina. And so all of a sudden, all the little things, all the nuisances, all the discomforts, all the pain in the necks, didn't matter. Because look what I'm doing here. Look what I am here. I'm in Yerushalayim. We're going to be in the Beis HaMikdash. So the sleeping accommodations were not up to par. But I'm in Yerushalayim. And when you came to Yerushalayim and you kept your eye on that ball and you kept your eye on the higher, you were able to ignore the smaller things. Here was Bilam, okay, riding his donkey. So the donkey went off the road. So the donkey collapsed under him. Look how angry he got. He said, if I went out of sword, I'd kill you right here. You'd kill him? You'd kill the donkey. It's a donkey, your faithful donkey. It says in the Pesukim, this is your faithful donkey you've been riding on for your whole life. I never did anything to you. And so you didn't kill me because one day I went off the road a little bit? Well, what do you mean? You know, we have it ourselves. Again, I'll speak from personal experience. You know, to me, the most horrible things to see on the road are orange signs that are shaped like in a diamond. Road work ahead. Oh no, now my whole day is ruined. Because it's going to take me an extra 20 minutes to get where I have to go. Right? And the traffic's backed up and then the construction can be for the next 22 years and so on. Right? But we get bogged down by the little things, but we're not watching the bigger things. And I think maybe in interpersonal relationships, and what leads a person to be able to forgive is to keep your eye on the more important things. Now, Lehavdil, just for an example, because it's Minyan Adiyoma, forgive me. Right now, I think this week they start the Olympics. You ever watch professional sports, whether it's the Olympics or baseball, you know, sometimes, and it always bothered me, I thought it wasn't nice, it wasn't good meatos, but they do it, right? You come to a basketball game, whatever, and the guy's got to take a foul shot, and the people who are sitting behind the baskets, they're waving towels and shirts and all kinds, what's the goal? To distract the player, right? Or a guy's up at bat in a tight spot, so people in the stands are screaming and yelling, or even without all that. Okay, you have this little 16-year-old girl's going to jump off from one bar to another, whatever, and there are 10,000 people there. Well, aren't you intimidated? Aren't you nervous? The answer is part of the training, and you read about this in sports psychology and so on, part of the training is to blot that out. How can you blot it out? How can a player who's, you know, in a pressure situation, got to take a foul shot that, you know, can make a difference when his team goes to the playoffs or doesn't, and how much he's going to earn by doing that, when there's all that distraction, people screaming and calling him dirty names and whatever else is going on, and how does he tune it out? Because right now, he has his mind on a higher goal. Or this athlete, this kid, whatever, this diver, this shot putter, whatever the athlete is, whatever the sport is right now concentrating on something else, and nothing's going to distract you. Because you've got your eye on something more important. Doesn't matter what's going on. They say about the great Talmid Chacham, I remember when Rabbi mentioned before that I had the privilege to learn by Rav Soloveitcher. I learned only in later years by the Rav, Zichron Levracha. But people said he had, I remember that I heard this a tape from Yaakov Weinberg, Zichron Levracha, was the Rosh Hashiva of Neir Yisrael for many years. So he gave a hesped in Baltimore for Rav Soloveitcher after he died. And in 1993, so my brother-in-law was in Baltimore, so he gave me a tape of it. I remember listening to it. He said that he had a tremendous power of concentration, that he used to be able to sit when he was learning. He was able to sit in his room and prepare. He could prepare the shiur for 8 or 9 hours straight. In World War III, he could have broken out in the streets. And his concentration was on that. The great people can concentrate, you know, on athletes can concentrate what they have to concentrate on, and great people can concentrate what they have to concentrate on. Well, on our level, what it requires is changing a little bit who we are and what our focal point is. It's interesting just to read the last couple of sources. In 67, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that there are four things, which will rip up any bad decree against a person. We'll wrap up momentarily. One of the four things is Shinui Hashem. Changing your name. And the Rambam brings the halacha. Okay, the Rambam brings the halacha. What does changing your name mean? Well, some of you may be familiar with the minhag we have, Rachmana Litzlan. When somebody's very ill, okay, and the person's considered to be in a very, very desperate situation, sometimes we'll change the person's name. And we'll add a name that represents, if it's a male, we'll add the name Chaim. Or Raphael or something like that. If it's a woman, so they'll give her the name Chaya or Brocha or something which is, we'll add on to the name. What is that, magic? What are you adding the name for? So the simple understanding is we're adding the name because we're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, well, you may have passed a decree that Yitzhak ben Avram is going to meet an unfortunate end, but this is not Yitzhak ben Avram, but now it's Chaim Yitzhak ben Avram. That's a different person. But the real, that's the idea. We have that minig, and it's brought la'aloch, and again, Rachman al-Tzana comes up from time to time. But what it really means, and that's what the Rambam tells us in this beautiful language in a few places, what does Shini Hashem really mean? Not changing your name, you add the name Chaim or Brocha or whatever. What it means is changing who you are. Real tshuva means to change who you are, to change your nature. Like I said before, to go against your grain. And maybe ultimately to change your grain, to change what you are consider important and so on. And there are many, many examples of this. And we have examples from the Torah. You know that we know the famous story. Well, we'll look at source 70. I'm going to finish in a moment. Look at source number 70. Hayom Rav Ayonos, the red fifth in Hallel, right? Hayom Rav Ayonos, but say so many times. Hayom Ayonos, the sea saw something and it parted. What is it that the sea noticed? So the Medrash says, Yosef Atzadik, his bones were coming through, his coffin was coming through, the sea parted. Why? Because Yosef went against what was normal. He was with the wife of Potiphar. He was tempted by her. Nobody was home. And the Torah sets it up. Everybody went out that day. He was all alone. And she had his shirt. And everything was like, you know, perfect setup. He would have gotten away with it. But he went beyond. And therefore, in his merit, the ocean, the sea, the Red Sea, did something different also. And numerous other such examples. And again, we don't have time to go into everything. But I just, I'll just conclude by mentioning that really, in order to be Mavel Midosov, what you need to have is a recalibrating of what's truly important. At the end of the day, when you have a relationship with somebody, saying you're sorry or forgiving the person doesn't mean necessarily that you're giving in and you're saying that you're wrong. It just means that you value the relationship with that person more than you value being right. And that's really what it comes down to. I forgive this person, even though I was wrong, even though they deserve, and maybe they do, whatever the punishment is. But you know what? I value my relationship, and certainly if it's someone close, if it's a spouse, it's a parent, it's a child, it's a sibling, it's a co-worker, it's someone from the shul, it's people I deal with, and even people, you know, in my extended world. I value a relationship with another person more than I value proving that I'm right. So I'll walk away and say to myself, I know that I'm right. But you know what? I value that relationship more. And therefore, for these reasons, it behooves us to grant forgiveness. Sometimes you say, okay, I forgive you. It's not easy. Said it means going against your grain. Very often, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it. He went against Emes, and he went against his never forgetting, to pretend that he forgets, and so on and so forth. But Kodesh Baruch Hu does it, so he's telling us, Allah, we have to do it also. So I hope that we can, and I of course speak to myself as much as to anybody else, we have a kind of a nature to want to always prove ourselves right, and we want to stand up when we're wrong. And by the way, I don't want to be misinterpreted or misunderstood either. I'm not saying there aren't occasions we have to stand up even against somebody. Let's not mix that up either. That's a second cheer. Perhaps come back another time and we can talk about that. There are times where, of course, a person has to stand up and not tolerate. But by and large, in most of our relationships, in most of our benoma chavera situation that we're in, it's usually the right thing to do is to be mavir al midosa, and if that's the way we want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to deal with us, that's the way we should deal with other people. Thank you very much for listening. Have a meaningful rest of the fast.